Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My pleasure to be joined tonight by Mickey from Murphy's. Welcome, Mickey.
Thank you, Michael.
How are you?
I'm just great.
Great. I can hear you loud and clear.
I'm glad you can. I'm almost sort of surprised sitting up here in the rain and the wind.
Yes, yes. You know, I used to live somewhere where my phone line was really affected by the weather, and I know that might be the case for you.
That's often the case up here, yes. I'm glad it's working well tonight.
Great. Me too. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed here. Mickey, you and I both had the pleasure of participating in some meetings with the Living Compassion Board over the past few days.
We did indeed. We had the great pleasure of being together in a few different ways for 4 days.
Yes.
It was
so
very
tell
exciting.
Us all about it.
Well, we started our weekend together on Friday by just having a Living Compassion Board meeting, just kind of a regular business meeting to attend to some details of things. And then on Saturday, we all got to participate in the Personal Best Year Yet workshop that Jan Latender leads us in. And I know that people who listened last week got to hear Jan talk about that process. And so we all did that for ourselves and created our own Best Year Yet plan. And then on Sunday and Monday, the board got together again and did the organizational version of the Best Year Yet process to create the Best Year Yet for Living Compassion and the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Yes, it was very exciting.
It was very exciting. You know, it's at the end of the process, Sherry said, you know, this is just one of my most favorite things we do all year long, and I'm really right there with her on that. First of all, it's just so great for us all to be together because our board is actually kind of far-flung. We have people from all across the country, and so it takes some doing to get us all together in the same place at the same time, and we actually did that, so that was fun just in and of itself. But then to be able to spend that time together looking at, you know, where are we and where are we going now this year and beyond that, and how do we set ourselves up for being successful for that, is just, it's so creative and so much fun.
Yes, it's really wonderful. And to me, what you're pointing at is really the process of how we work together.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And, you know, we just have come to trust Jan's leadership and that Best Year Yet process to take us places that we couldn't have told you we would go before we started. But just going through that process, I mean, you know, starting with, you know, listing our accomplishments for the year, I mean, we ended up with pages on the wall of things, you know, that, you know, you forgot about, but when everybody gets together and goes, oh, remember, you know, fixing up the meditation hut and all of the things we did in Africa, and it's astounding, really. So, you know, you start from that place of, well, literally astounding ourselves at what we have created, and then the energy just builds to see where we go from there.
Yes, yes. And for me, it seems to me that a crucial element is that each of us is doing our own awareness practice for ourselves so that as much as we can be there without ego driving us, to me, really adds a lot of energy and removes a lot of roadblocks that would otherwise be there.
That's right. That's right. I mean, you know, because the practice is the foundation of who we are and what we do, both individually and collectively, you know, I think we can just go places in a way that many groups who don't have that practice can do. And in fact, we really, I think, captured that in our new paradigm for the coming year.
Oh, great.
Because, you know, part of the Best Year Yet is to look at, you know, where's the focus that we want to put on this year that will underlie every goal we set, everything we do. And what we got to this year, the new paradigm, is we practice and offer presence. And we just, I mean, it was just like, well, of course, that's what we do. We practice all the time And that's exactly what we offer, what we have to offer is presence. And it's that ability, that presence, and I was going to say ability to be present, but it isn't even that. It's the actual presence that then leads us to where we're going to go.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I just think, you know, you look at the whole project in Cantalomba, you know, that just grew out of being present to every encounter and opening and conversation and possibility. And, you know, there's something going on there that none of us could have ever dreamed up if we had looked for something to dream up.
Yes, yes, indeed. So the new paradigm is we practice and offer presence.
Yeah, and it seems to me particularly, it's so particularly right for this time in our national and worldwide lives, because, you know, things are shaken up a bit. They're not kind of the comfortable, secure, the way things have always been times. And it really feels like in the midst of all of that, which is kind of feeling a little scary and chaotic to some people, to be able to say we offer presence. Such a gift.
It is such a gift. It is such a gift. And to me, what struck me about our meetings over the past couple of days was really the sense of possibility that is available to us, which, as you know, is different from the message that we're getting from the mainstream media these days.
Right. That's right. Whereas, you know, many people are sort of talking doom and gloom and, oh my gosh, that has so not been our experience as we've been together as a board. It's more just, wow, you know, this is what we've been practicing for. This is an opportunity to step up and share what we know works, you know, what is a foundation for the good times and the bad times. And
yes, indeed. And Mickey, are there some guidelines that will help us
absolutely
through this next year?
Yep, we have three guidelines for next year. I love them. The first one is take care.
Take care.
The second one, bring it to the team.
Bring it to the team.
The third one is enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride. Take care. Bring it to the team. Enjoy the ride.
Absolutely. And it speaks to me to what we were talking about. Just for me, the words take care is absolutely putting me in that place of practice and presence. You know, be there so that I actually know what taking care is. What would it look like to take care in this moment? I can't know that if I'm not there. And bring it to the team. We have to be that. We have to bring it to the team because we're not out there doing this stuff on our own. And so we bring it to the team as our own offering, and we bring it to the team when we're struggling and we need some support, because it's the team that's there for all of us on the board and for all of the Sangha, for all of the organizations. And then enjoy the ride, you know, given what we were just talking about in these times, who knows where things are going to lead us, but we might as well have fun.
Yes, indeed. Given that we don't know how it's going to turn out.
That's right. Just hang on and, you know, say we.
Yes, yes, yes. Enjoy the ride. And I really like that bring it to the team, because for me that really speaks to a finding the willingness to let go of ego, to offer this to a larger perspective.
Yeah. It really does, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I found I had one of my own personal three guidelines, which came to me before we even did the bring it to the team, was do my part. Do my part, because I'm one of those people who actually, my karma is, I would really believe that I need to do it all. And it was so relaxing to me to get that, no, I don't have to, I just have to do my part.
Yeah, it is very relaxing when you say that.
It is.
Because when we
I have to do my part. I can't not do it, but that's all I have to do.
Yes, and when we each do our part in that way, you know, willingly and with the vision of the team, it's a real contribution I mean, the sum of the parts is really greater than the individual.
Right. Truly greater than the individual, yeah.
Mickey, thanks so much for taking time out of your rainy day today.
Hey, I'm happy to, Michael. I enjoyed it.
Great. And you take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
I will never hear take care the same way again. When you said take care, I thought you were going to follow it up with and enjoy the ride.
Yes, I should have.
Yeah, I loved it when Mickey said, like, let go and say we. You know, and so there's W-H-E-E, and then there's just W-E, and they both come to the same thing.
Yeah, I thought the same thing when she said that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, very fun, very fun. Sherry, we have at least 6 blinking red lights here.
Gosh, okay. Well, let's find out who they belong to.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, it's Poppy.
Well, Poppy!
Hello.
Good morning!
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What's going on?
Well, I was wanting to call because I don't know if I've mentioned it before, but I've been home-educated, like, all my life. But in September, I started at college.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And I'm just finding it really hard, especially the grading side of it.
Aha.
I have like, a deadline every 2 weeks, so that means I have I have grades every 2 weeks as well. And I just seem to be stressed all the time, and and like when I get my grades back, it always opens up all the self hate, and I don't know, I've never really had to deal with anything like this before.
Well, the way it's set up, there's no downtime, is there? There's no recovery or relaxation time.
Constant
pressure.
Yeah.
And does it feel, are you able to keep up with the work?
Not really, actually. No.
Uh-huh.
I'm always rushing all the time.
And are you, aside from the voices of self-hate, are you doing okay with it? I mean, are you going to be successful?
I'm definitely getting the grades that I need.
Uh-huh.
But I guess that sometimes I feel like I'm not getting...
not having the life you want.
Yeah. And also, because, I don't know, I work as hard as I possibly can. So I guess when I get my grades back, I always get like, you should be getting higher grades because you've been working so hard. So I feel like I should be getting higher grades.
Which is silly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because if you could, you would.
Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, yeah. Unless you start giving up sleeping or something so that you can study more. I mean, you're working really hard, and you're getting the grades that you're getting, and those grades are good enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it really is self-hate taking advantage of a miserable situation.
Yeah.
Mhm. And do you ever remember to thank the person who's working so hard?
I guess I might. I try.
Uh huh.
But I think I forget really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we have is this person who's working really hard. And under a lot of pressure and strain,
Yeah.
And all she really gets is information about how she should be doing better.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. It's not very uplifting, is it?
No.
No. You feel kind of sorry for her?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's hard to remember when you're in that cycle.
Yeah.
Right? When you're just caught up in listening to the voices and believing what they're saying.
Yeah.
And then you forget that it's a real person who is taking all this abuse, who is giving it her best, and her reward is abuse.
Yeah.
So how do you think you might remember to appreciate her?
I don't know. I guess that I could write it down somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Are your living circumstances such that you could write it down really big?
Yeah, yeah. I could.
Like poster size?
Probably, yeah. I'm sure I'd be able to find somewhere.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's just such a, well, of course, we all know self-hate is nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to be, it's such a heroic place to be in, to be working hard and doing the best that you can do under difficult circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, that's really heroic. And then to say to her, but the truth of the matter is, you're really not as good as you should be.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, she's doing the best she can do.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like you're just lying around somewhere, you know, watching soap operas and eating junk food.
Yeah.
And if you really applied yourself, you could get a lot better grades. You're working hard.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing, because as well as saying you should be getting better grades, it's also like, I don't know, it's like it tricks me into thinking that I've been being lazy and not doing it, even though when I actually think about it, I have been working as hard as I possibly can, like without
collapsing. Yeah, yeah. So the information that you're getting, and that the person, somebody, and we guess we know who, is believing is lies.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. So I think it's time to save her.
Yeah.
And you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens as you make a commitment not to do that to her any longer. You know, again, I know we've talked about this in the past, but, you know, just pretend she's your best friend.
Yeah.
And there she is working just as hard as she can possibly work, and then somebody is saying, you know, implying that she's lazy and she's not trying that hard, and even if she is, she really should be doing better, and, you know, there's basically something wrong with her that she's not getting better grades. That would just be intolerable.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody were doing that to your best friend, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it'll be really interesting, I think, to see when that additional pressure is taken off.
Yeah.
So she's got the pressure of doing the work. She's got the pressure of the grades that come out every 2 weeks. Then on top of that, she's got the pressure of somebody abusing her constantly. So without that abuse, what, you know, what might her experience of school be?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. In fact, once you get the hang of that, you could just get totally crazy and start, like, really cheering her on.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like even telling her what a great job she's doing.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Do you think? Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, it's not like you would be you know, just trying to make her feel better. You're really thanking her for doing a really good job.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can all look around and know, you know, I'm not the smartest person on the planet. You know, I'm not the most attractive person on the planet. I'm not the, you know, the best athlete on the planet. We can all look around and see, yeah, there are people, everything that I enjoy in life, there's somebody who's better at it than I am.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that is something that a whole lot of us share.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that what we're doing doesn't count.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that at all.
Yeah.
In fact, I've just been reading this book that I found quite fascinating. It's called Outliers. And it's the subtitle, I think, is The Story of Success. And what this guy does is break down how success happens. And he takes all these different areas. And he talks about, you know, the richest people and the most successful people in these different fields and the smartest people. And the smartest people piece was really fascinating to me because what they, you know, in some way that they feel confident that they have accomplished, they have identified the smartest person in the United States.
Yeah.
And he is, by society standards, a completely unsuccessful person.
Oh.
But he has the highest IQ of anybody that they've ever measured in the United States.
Wow.
So, you know, there's all kinds of stuff about that, you know, about those tests and what they really mean and how accurate they are. But anyway, everybody who believes that can agree. This guy has the highest IQ.
Yeah.
And then what the fellow who's writing the book says is there are all of these other people who don't have as high an IQ, and yet they are wildly successful in these various arenas. And what he says is because they are smart enough.
Yeah.
And that's really all it takes. You just have to be smart enough, which clearly you are.
Yeah.
Right? And then the point that he makes is that after, you know, and thank God you are, right? Because that's not anything that we can do anything about. I mean, there are people who are born not smart enough to accomplish the kinds of things that you're accomplishing. But then beyond that, what makes a person successful is all kinds of other qualities and characteristics. And I happen to know that you are in the pursuit of many of those, that you have been working for a long time to develop the other qualities and characteristics that, along with being smart enough, are going to enable you to accomplish pretty much anything you want to accomplish in life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good not to turn your life over to those voices, those liar voices who hate you and want you to feel bad. But instead, to keep coming back to that centered place that reminds this human being we call Poppy exactly what she's bringing to this and how hard she's working and what a good job she's doing and the importance of helping her to also enjoy life and to appreciate herself for her ability to be able to participate fully and make a big contribution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right. Now you have to get some sleep.
Yes. I've not phoned in for ages. It's half term at the moment because, of course, I can't phone in normally during the week.
So this is good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's great to hear from you.
Yes, it's been lovely to speak to you again.
Good, good. Take good care of yourself. Put up that poster, okay?
Okay. Thank
All
you.
All right. Thanks. Good night.
Bye.
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 Thanks for joining us, Poppy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I'm always inspired by people calling in from everywhere and that courage and willingness. And the way that you reflect that unconditional love and acceptance is really powerful to me.
Good. Very good. And I'm just kind of in shock that I think we had this conversation last time, but she's gone from being a little kid to a grown-up. Does that mean we're getting old? I'm sure it doesn't.
I'm sure it doesn't either.
No.
Sherry, we're going to take a quick sponsor break here, and then we'll be right back.
All right, thanks.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do. And we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Sherry from San Francisco.
Hi there.
Hello. I'm sorry, I've got a little bit of a frog throat.
Oh, well, it's the season for that.
It is.
Yeah. Well, what's going on?
Well, I have to say I loved the good news at the beginning, and I was thinking of the bring it to the team, and in relationship to bringing everything that we have, you know, here to Open Air as well, and I just was feeling so grateful for this opportunity.
Uh-huh.
So
it just makes such a difference for us. There are all of those proverbs, you know, about sharing the load. It's like every culture has some way of expressing whatever your difficulties are. When you share them, suddenly it's lighter for you. It doesn't burden anybody else. You know, between the two of you, you can come up with, you know, all of those kinds of things. And it's really true. That's the power and the beauty of Sangha.
It is. And I love that. I listen to the podcast. Usually I'm not on live, but I just love the sense of, like, every time I hear it, it's like, oh, yeah, me too, you know.
Right. Yeah.
I just love that. It was interesting, though, when I was listening before I was on live, you know, how the voices kept telling me, you know, hang up.
Yeah.
And, what you have to say isn't that important, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And, And I love that I just stayed on. You know, I just love that I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. Maybe it's not
right.
A big deal. But.
Yeah. And I was, again, that place that's so important to recognize. It's like that voice is saying, hang up. Don't reach out. Don't get support. Stay in isolation. Stay here with me where I can just whisper hateful things in your ear until you are thoroughly miserable. That's a better plan.
Exactly. And the thing that I caught, you know, a couple of things that's so fascinating. One is that the reason I'm calling anyways is I just realized, even though this seems like a really small thing, what I'm going to talk to you about, I realized that I have been seeing it as a piece of content for about a year now. And finally today I realized this is a process that I'm suffering over nearly every day.
Uh-huh.
And so for them to then tell me, like, well, it's not very important, is also very interesting.
Yeah, if it's not important, why do you torture me over every day for months? Yeah. So what
right.
is it? Let's just
so
get
here's
it out
what
in the
it,
open.
Here's what it is. About a year ago, I went to the eye doctor for a checkup because I had just gotten health insurance, and I thought, oh, that'd be a good idea to go because I had a free appointment. And before I even went into the exam, they were asking me to look at frames and things, and I was like, well, I don't even know I need glasses, you know. And so, but then, of course, I go in, I get the exam, and they're like, oh, yeah, it looks, you know, you need to have this basic prescription for blah, blah, blah. And so I was suspicious.
What
of, you know, from the beginning.
What a surprise.
I've been suspicious from the beginning, and you know, I ended up, like, you know, of course, asking them a lot about it, and they give me all this scientific stuff about, you know, as you grow older and your eyes and the pressure that you're using, and this will help relieve it, and your eyes won't wear out as fast. And so I started wearing the glasses, and it seemed like I couldn't see at all. Like, any, you know, I was supposed to just wear them for reading in the computer, but then it's like everywhere else I could felt like my eyesight was going. And so I've been back and forth for a year now. I'm not wearing the glasses, I'm wearing the glasses. I'm not wearing them, I'm wearing them. I'm talking to everybody I know. I'm looking to every authority. You know, I was in a retreat once, and you were speaking about glasses, and I was like, aha, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole process, and I feel like I can't get out.
Ah, well, I have a place to look. And
yeah.
looking seems like an important part of this conversation, huh? And you won't need glasses for this. So this is, you know, this is my big rant on how we are conditioned to believe that we cannot be the authority in our own lives, that we cannot possibly know what's best for us.
And yes.
Yes. And that it is not okay to find out. We have to know, and because we have to know and we don't know, then we have to find somebody who does know so that they can tell us. And the whole thing is just bogus. It really is. So to me, the exciting part about this is that you have an opportunity to become the world's foremost expert on your eyes. Which seems really important since they are yours. Because, you know, any authority out there, excuse me, can tell you something and then they're wrong. You know, maybe they're right, but say they're wrong. And there are disastrous consequences for you. And their response is, oh, huh. If you even get a response. And, of course, they would have that reaction to your plight because it doesn't really have anything to do with them. Their relationship with you was they're the authority. You want their expertise. You buy it. They give it to you. They sell it to you. That's it. Now, suddenly, you become responsible. You see the irony in that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, as soon as you've purchased my product, now suddenly you're responsible for yourself. So
right.
I truly believe in cutting out the middle person just as often as possible. So you, being an intelligent soul, can find out, well, what does happen with eyes as you age? What might be something that would slow down an aging process? Are there things that would actually reverse an aging process? What kind of supports could you find for yourself? What might you do with in terms of reading? How might you approach using your computer? Are there, and here's a big old hint, are there exercises that you could do that would help the, you know, eyes have muscles. So when for a very long time, people assumed, you know, from the time that we went from being physically active creatures to not being, during the time between being physically active and getting it that we need to generate physical activity because it doesn't exist in our lives any longer, people just didn't have physical activity. And, of course, there are a lot of people around still who don't see the real merit in it. But some of us get it, that it's really important to use your muscles if you want them to stay strong. When you're young, you don't actually need to do anything with them because they just are inherently strong. But every year, after a certain point, you know, remember when you reach that point and suddenly you thought, I think I'm going in a different direction now. you know that one? So a lot of times people will notice it with the effects of gravity. For a very long time, gravity seems to have no effect on one. And then one begins to notice that, gravity seems to be taking a toll here. So then at that point, you think, well, now I need to start taking care of my muscles. So maybe you start walking or, you know, you lift weights or you do yoga or whatever it is that you do, okay? Eyes are muscle, have muscles. So might you want to strengthen the muscles in your eyes rather than just assuming that those muscles should just go the way of all flesh and what you need to do is give them crutches. So that would be the equivalent of, I'll just let my body go, and then I'll get a walker.
This is great.
So.
Go ahead. Well, I just think the thing that's so great about what you're saying is that it's totally outside of the duality that I've been in.
Yes.
You know,
where
should
I wear
the
glasses or shouldn't I? Yes. Yeah.
Right
and
or wrong.
You know,
this is right,
yes,
that's wrong.
That's right. And if the application of some people could say, well, you know, I already wear glasses, or, you know, I don't need glasses, so what is this conversation about? But this conversation is about everything in our lives, because everything that arises in that duality. We're constantly faced with that. What's right, what's wrong? Should I, shouldn't I? Is this a good thing? Are they the right people, or are they the wrong people? And where we're going in terms of conscious compassion and awareness, as you're indicating, has nothing to do with those two sides of the duality. We're going somewhere completely different.
And it's all pointing out, too, which I kind of got a little glimpse of, which is why I stayed on the phone, which is, you know, how you do anything is how you do everything. And so I knew, you know, this isn't just such a small little thing about glasses.
Exactly.
Of course.
Exactly.
It's about everything,
right?
I do. It's every time
That's
I look
right.
to outside authority.
That's right. That's exactly right. And once you see that, you will begin to see it in every aspect of your life. And so it's a wonderful thing if your eyes have given you this gift. Now, I would suggest that what you can do for them is to take care of them in a way that truly takes care of them. You know, we are so conditioned to ignore. So several years ago, I had Graves' disease, which is hyperthyroidism. And what the medical approach is, get rid of it. You want us to nuke it, or do you want to have surgery? And I said, it's my thyroid. You know, it wasn't doing anything. It was just going along, being a good little thyroid. And because of whatever circumstances in my life, it kind of spun out there. Okay, so again, how many times does this happen to us in life? Okay, where we just spin out there over something that we're not attending to. So. You know, it was a tremendous gift to be with my thyroid in a way that showed appreciation for all that it is and all that it has been and all that I hope that it would be for me in my life. To have to be required to attend, to be with, to understand, to have a deep relationship, to be required to be here. That's a tremendous gift. Fortunately, my thyroid was happy with our relationship, and we were able to continue on together. And your eyes, I project, will respond in the same way to the care that you give. rather than just saying, oh, eyes, yeah, okay, well, sure. I mean, they're great, but, you know, they're not doing for me what I really want right now, so I'm going to go in this other direction.
Wow. And I love, I mean, what's coming up as you're talking is, like, where else could I put my attention that I'm just sort of, oh, yeah, my knees, oh, yeah, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's just making me think there's so many places I could give that care to.
Yes, yes. So early on, you know, Mickey and Michael were having the conversation, and our first guideline for our best year yet, take care. It's so huge. Taking care, really, you have to be with in order to take care. And it's just the greatest gift we can receive.
I love that.
All right. Okay, so you're going to keep
you,
it posted.
Thank you.
Yeah, when you get you get to 2020, we'll all have a party.
All right, that sounds
all
great.
Right. Good.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Uh-huh.
Bye bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, you'd think if we took some calls, the number of red lights would decrease.
Not so.
Not so.
That's a good thing, though, isn't it?
It is.
Wouldn't we just go, oh, no, you know, nobody calls us. We'd be so lonely.
Yes, it's a good challenge to have.
Yes, it is. It's a good problem.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Virginia from Washington State.
Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How goes it?
Good, great. I feel very fortunate to be on the call because I must be like the sixth or seventh caller. Just not sure what happened to the other ones. But, I'm doing really well, Sherry. And I was at the New Year's retreat, and one of my supports for the year is to call into the radio show every month. So,
right.
Yeah. And so I guess what I'd like to talk about tonight is just the process of, in the process of making the decision to call today, you know, some things have come up that I've been noticing that are kind of kind of typical for how I, you know, like a process that I do.
Uh-huh.
So.
Which is always good to see, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is because, mm-hmm. you know, well, a couple of things. One is, you know, I was sitting here waiting, around 4 o'clock waiting for the call, and, you know, a voice came and said, well, you know, maybe you just should wait until you feel better. When there's a better time, there's going to be a better time when you feel, you know, you'll feel really good, really energetic and really talkative. And it was really funny because I felt fine. I mean, it was like, but I'm fine. I mean, you know, it's kind of like the voice is saying there's something wrong and wait until you fix it. Wait until it gets better and then you can talk. But it's like.
Yes, and if you weren't paying really close attention, you would assume that there was something wrong, that you really didn't feel that well.
Well, and that's the thing, Sherry, and that's a real typical way of how I get talked out of doing things. Like, you know, there's going to be a better time. There'll be a time when, you know, mm-hmm. all the oranges are lined up or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. And a person could miss her whole life waiting for the oranges to all line up, right?
Oh, for sure. She totally could. And, you know, when the last time I spoke with you, you know, I don't know if you remember, but I remember we talked about inertia. And it's really one of the ways that inertia is kept in place, you know, in my life.
Yeah, yeah. So it finally gets to the point where just do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever it is. Just to move. Just take action.
And especially, I don't know what you think about this, Sherry, but it's to take action on the thing that is, see there, okay, there's a fear of, you know, there's a fear about calling in. So when something looks, you know, insurmountable or, and it's not. It's the mountain. It's a molehill kind of thing. But conditioning would have me believe everything is a mountain.
Yes, yes. And so I think where you were going with that is when you feel that fear, that resistance, that whatever it is, to just take some sort of action.
Yeah.
To have those sensations that would stop you be a signal to move.
So this is interesting that you bring up sensations, because that's one of the things I've been working with the last couple of weeks. And well, first I just want to say in the past I've given I've known about sensations and I've talked about them and thought about them, but I haven't really spent a lot of time there, you know.
Yes.
And it's in doing it, I don't know what has happened, but I've been able to do it in the last couple of weeks, and it feels really nurturing, actually. It's a real, I don't know, it feels like it's a real intimate experience that I have.
Yes.
When I do
yes.
That.
That you are attending to yourself.
Yes.
At a really deep level.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, it's a delight, really. And
yes.
Yeah. And so going back to that, Sherry, because this is kind of the other thing that came up today, because, you know, I took a little walk earlier, and just what you said, there were these crazy sensations in my body, and sensations that, initially there were sensations, and then the thought was, don't call that radio show tonight. I mean, it was like, you can't do it tonight. You don't feel that good, you know, because, you know, I didn't then. And so I thought, well, oh, there's the sensations. You know, let's see what would happen if I just see, you know, what shape are they, where are they, what's the shape,
yeah.
What's the intensity. You know, I just started looking at them a little more detachedly. And so I'm not sure. I guess where I'm going with this is, you were saying before, you know, when the sensations come up, use them as a signal to act. But do you mean just take any action or try and act on the thing that they seem
kind
to
of,
be telling me not to act on?
Yeah. Well, of course, if it's clear,
mm-hmm.
that definitely is the direction to go.
Okay.
Because the sensations have been interpreted in a way that keeps you stuck.
Right.
And so the...
Right.
In fact, there's no, it's very unlikely that there's any relationship at all between the sensations and what you're told they mean.
Right.
And one of the fastest ways to prove that to yourself, of course, you're already attending at that deep level, so you know what the sensations are. And then when you feel it, to move in a direction that your conditioning is telling you shouldn't, and watch what happens to the sensations, it's a very good way to prove to yourself that, in fact, those sensations don't mean what you're told they mean.
Oh, I see. Okay. So if it's clear what the direction is, then do that. And if it's not, maybe just come up with something that
exactly.
I'm also aware of that they wouldn't like.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. And
okay.
Watch them. Just keep your attention on them, and it can be as simple as just going for a walk. But
okay.
What you're doing is altering the sensations and watching what connections go with the alterations.
Okay.
Because it, since you're looking at this deep level, there are sensations, and then there's the label. If we just stay with that, there's sensation and the label and the meaning with that. And so what conditioning would have us do is stay stuck then in a place that enables those sensations to stay in that configuration for the maximum amount of time so that story is reinforced.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be another lifetime thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because if I spend my whole lifetime never getting up close with the sensations and really being with them, then it would just be me believing the story my whole life.
Precisely, which I think we can suspect happens to an awful lot of people.
Sure, yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
So Sherry...
Good! Uh-huh.
Yeah, one more question here, too, is in what we're talking about, it's not really necessary to see all the steps of thought. You know, there's movement, sensation, thought. You don't have to see all the steps. It's just...
Not
right?
a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, not a bit. And, you know, something that you said early on that is really important you've known about this sensation thing for a really long time. You've known for a long time that it's a part of practice, that we talk about it all the time. There must be, you know, it must be a big deal because people are always talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you were doing, you personally were doing other things.
Yeah.
You were focusing on other things.
Mm-hmm.
And when all those other things got focused on,
mm-hmm.
then what surfaces for you as the next thing to attend to is sensation.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
And then you're ready to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. we can trust in the same way, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have to go, okay, there's a sensation and I am having a thought, and then now where's the emotion that goes with it? Or now what is the behavior, you know, because that's going up into conditioned mind and leaving your experience. So if you just stay with what you're doing and let yourself be informed in the present about the next step to take,
uh-huh.
then you will always be current with yourself in your practice.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Thank you. That's,
Yeah.
Really.
And so when we're all around together, you know, you're in a retreat or whatever, and mm-hmm. people are talking about all kinds of things, and you're taking it in, but right then it's not really relevant for you. But when the time comes and it is relevant, all of that information will be there, and that's what you will bring to whatever the current subject is.
Oh, yeah. You know, thanks so much for that, Sherry, because I'm going to listen to this again, of course, and really try and take that in, because I can see how what you're saying also, in addition to allowing compassion for myself, it would really also help in my relationships with other people.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because we want them to see the importance of what's important to us.
Right.
That may not be what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And to be able to allow, you know, well, you know, to allow people to be where they're at, because
yes. Yeah, because if nothing else, it's such great practice for letting ourselves be where we are.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Very good.
Yep.
Well, you're welcome.
Look forward to talking to you next month.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to take a quick sponsor break here, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
The Zen Blues Quartet is a collaborative music project celebrating life and the music of the blues. Good musicians and good friends coming together to make something really beautiful, simply because we can. Zen Blues Music. For myself, as a Zen student, I see a direct connection between playing the blues and awareness practice, because for me, both seem to require a willingness to be really present in the moment. Zen Blues Quartet is proud to sponsor Open Air Talk Radio with Sherry Huber, as we firmly believe that the quality of your life is dependent on the focus of your attention. Visit us at www.zenbluesmusic.com for more information about our project.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Yes, this is Carolyn from Denver.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hi.
How are you this evening?
I'm fabulous.
Great.
And I'm calling in to say thank you. I am so grateful for awareness practice and so grateful for this radio show and so grateful for your teaching.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
It must be working for you, huh?
Yes, and I would love to share a little bit of that.
Please.
The quick little bit on the content is I've been working on a publishing agreement for my first book for about a month now, working with a publisher, and she and I negotiated some things, and then I sent the agreement to an attorney to look over, and then the attorney came back about a week ago with what seemed like a million questions and criticisms and complaints and negative things and things to look at and things to change and things to clean up. And I was sort of, my first reaction was kind of shock and overwhelm. And anyway, I just proceeded to talk to the lawyer and work with the publisher and ask questions of other writers. And the publisher and I got to the point today where we agreed on the final contract and I'll sign it tomorrow.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And, but the process through all that has been amazing because I got the original email from the lawyer with all these, you know, red marks, so to speak, and sort of immediately went into shock, sort of emotional shock, like, how am I going to deal with all this and what happened to this great contract?
Mm-hmm.
And then about 5 minutes into it, I was like, this is just what Sherry talks about. This is the best practice workshop ever.
Aha. Oh, that's very good.
It was so great, and I could feel, you know, 2 minutes later, self-hate was going, you idiot, you thought this was going so well, and look at this mess, you know, and how do you even know how to deal with this? And I just listened, I mean, I listened to self-hate, and I didn't have to believe a word of it.
Yeah, yeah. And that your point is so important for all of us, because what we're taught to believe is that awareness practice is working when everything is going the way we want it to go.
Mm.
And when something doesn't go the way we want it to go, what we need to do is throw awareness out and turn to conditioning to take care of whatever the problem is. Then when the problem is taken care of, we can come back to awareness practice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But instead, what you said was, wow, this is a workshop. Wow. Yeah. I can look at all of it. I can see beliefs and assumptions. I can see projections. I can see all of the aspects of the personality who want to come in. I can disidentify from this. I can listen to the voices of self-hatred. And I can just keep going, taking advantage of all of those exercises and eventually get to the place where this situation is resolved and I've seen a great deal in the process. And in this case, oh, I guess you had to pay the lawyer. But I was going to say, you didn't even have to pay for the retreat because I imagine the publisher is going to give you something for the book.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it was just, I was so aware of all the suffering that I was saved, whether it was the,
yeah,
you know, self-critical voice about what an idiot,
yeah,
I was, or there was the melodramatic, oh, this is such a crisis, this is the end,
yeah,
of the world. And I'm,
yeah,
like, no, it's a sunny day, and if this publisher doesn't work out, I'll find the next one, and I'm going to go down,
exactly,
on this particular day and have a nice day with my father like I committed. And I'm just so aware of all the places I didn't go.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, God, yes. Yes. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's so fascinating to me. It is so difficult, if we would ever want to, which hopefully we get over and lose interest in fairly quickly, but it's so difficult to know where we are spiritually. Like, you know, where am I in awareness practice? I don't know. I can't really tell, except once in a while I'm in those situations where I can see that at another time in my life I would have been a complete raving maniac. And in fact, I'm enjoying the process and able to see all of the places that I'm not needing to go in this, all of the ways I'm not required to suffer over this. And there's just that little moment of awareness practice works.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's,
yes,
great.
So this afternoon I had the final negotiations on the phone. And this morning at 2:15, I woke up, and the voices were just worried about this and worried about that and worried about this. And I found that I couldn't, like, stop them and go back to sleep. So I've been up since 2:15.
Oh.
But I said, I'm not going to hear anything useful here at 2:15. So I tried counting breaths and some other things. And, again, I couldn't turn them off, but I never really fell for them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, there they are. It's like a neighbor's having a party. You know, you may not be able to do anything about it, and maybe you're not able to sleep through it, but you don't have to take it on and you don't have to suffer.
Yes, and then I got up and I said, you know, I'm not going to fall for these stories about how tired I'm going to be and how I can't do this on so little sleep. And I was just fine. My energy was just fine all day.
Yep. I don't know who, I'm quoting somebody, I don't know who said something like, tired is not an experience in the body, it's a conversation in the mind.
It sure seems to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Because if your body is really tired, you'll go to sleep.
Yeah,
no matter what you're doing, actually.
Well, I'd like to share just one other aspect that made you think of me this morning. I was driving in the car this morning, and I was thinking about this negotiation. And I realized that my ego was like all tied up in having to protect something, having to protect myself or having to protect my book. And then in there's something to know, you know, the clauses that the lawyer highlighted. There's something to know. There's something to understand. There's something I'm not getting. What if I miss the point? Mm-hmm. And then suddenly I just realized there was nothing to get. There was nothing to protect, and I've heard you say in the past, if you have to make a decision, just pick something out of a hat.
Mm.
And it was like, well, I just can't go wrong, because whatever will happen, I'll learn something from it. And then I was just free again.
Yeah. Oh, that, and it is freedom, isn't it? Because because the reality is we're always getting what we're getting. You know, it's not like, you know, if you put this book deal on hold, went to law school so that you could become the lawyer who would understand, you know, you're still, that's still not going to guarantee that you're going to get something better than what you've got right now. And in fact, of course, with that, you might actually lose an awful lot in the process.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So to have that attitude that whatever I'm getting is the very best that there is for me to get, which is true. My father used to say this thing about if you eat the best first, you'll always have the best last. I'm telling you, I was a grown-up before I had a clue about what he was talking about, but he was absolutely right. You know, if you pick out what's the best, eat that, and then what you've got left is going to be the best that you've got. And so it's the same way with this. If you're looking at life in terms of I'm always getting the best that I'm getting, you know, what I'm getting is the best there is because it is what is, you just can't go wrong.
Wow, yes. That's hearing that is like the icing on the cake.
I'm glad. Well, once again, congratulations. I'm glad that you're being able to enjoy this time of success and not have conditioning and self-hatred take it away from you.
Yes, thank you. And thank you so much for your guidance and for this show. And it is just so liberating and joyful in a time that could have been anything but.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Carolyn. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have about 3 minutes, and we have a lot of callers. So we'll talk to the first one.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Steve Young from Albany, New York.
Hey there. How are you doing?
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I have 3 minutes. My kids to bed, but I think they're going to take care of themselves. How are you guys doing?
Good, good.
I called. I was inspired listening to an archive show. I called just for the fun of calling, and because Ego said it wasn't a good idea to call. And
both excellent motivations.
Yes, and so what do I have to say? Well, I have a vibrating watch story to tell.
Good.
I got a vibrating watch about a month ago. And it's amazing what ego came up with about, oh, this is annoying, it's vibrating all the time, you aren't even paying attention to it, you might as well just, you know, turn it off or not wear it anymore, or you're going to forget to wear it, or you're going to... And it just kept going on and coming up with all these clever ways, and then there was the pay no attention to that vibrating feeling on your wrist kind of subtle whisper thing. So
yeah, that's great. And it's after a while, it's like, oh my God, what is your problem? You know, are you really that terrified that I'm going to be present to my life? Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You are an inspiration.
And then there was the, you're going to just stop paying attention to it anyway after it gets old, which is kind of true, but, you know, many times a day I do notice it.
Yeah. That's right.
Right,
and you can always put it on the other wrist, and if all else fails, you can start wearing it around your ankle. By the time you bring it back to the original wrist, you'll be noticing it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's that you don't have time to take one breath every 5 minutes.
Wow.
You're too busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
you're too busy to breathe.
Yes. One conscious breath.
Uh-huh.
And... So I'm probably running out of time here, but I just thought I'd record on that.
Well, good. I'm hoping, it, as a matter of fact, when you were talking, I thought, yeah, I've never had a vibrating watch. I think I'm going to get one and just see what it's like, because clearly they provide a lot of spiritual opportunity for a lot of people, and I don't want to miss out.
Yes. And it's definitely a wonderful experience to see how, you know, all the various parts of you, including ego, to that watch.
Yeah. Well, good. And as
all
we
right.
were talking about with the eyes earlier, you know, it's just it's one of those places where you hear all of this around this watch, and once you really hear it, you can hear it about other things much more clearly, and that
is
a gift.
And I did have an amazing experience with that, where I was staying up later than it would be good to stay up if I wanted to be well-rested the next day, and I was reading a really exciting book about a subject I'm really excited about and I'm going to put into action. And ego was just spoiling it, you know, like, oh, look, you have no self-control. You're always out of control. You're always staying up too late. You know, and then it was doing these subtle little nervous feeling in the belly thing and all this stuff.
Yep.
And I thought, wait a second, I can just enjoy reading the book and stay up as late as I stay up and then sleep as long as I sleep.
That's right. And feel the way I feel.
Yes, and feel the way I feel.
Yep, which will be which is really interesting to see when we're actually with the story, with the feeling instead of with the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you
very much.
I'm going to get that watch.
All right. Good night, Sherry and Michael. Thanks for having me there for those 3 minutes.
Pleasure.
It was
welcome.
A pleasure.
Thanks for joining us, Steve. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'd like to thank all of our callers and all of our listeners tonight, Sherry.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, it's been a pleasure.
Next
week, and I encourage those people still on hold here to please call in early next week and join us then.
We'd appreciate that.
Great. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Good night.